This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends of Radio K Pulpit on 7 to 9 a.m. Thank you for joining me on my program called Rise. I'm Renette Meiburg, and this is the program where we give you hope, wisdom, guidance, and knowledge when real life happens in the family. We discuss relevant and often unspoken issues in the family in truth and in love. But with God, we can rise to restoration and rise above all and together as a family. And this afternoon, I am very privileged to have Pastor Eric Limkuhl. I'm so sorry that I'm not saying it right, but it is a surname I've never heard before, to be honest. And then we have got Anton Stulz in the studio with us as well, and he's the prayer coordinator for Uncle Angus and the Shalom Ministries, and a businessman. So we are just so privileged to have you in the studio with us this afternoon, and we are going to be discussing bridging the gap of the generations with a biblical moral compass within the family. So thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Renette. It is so wonderful to be with you again on the program. And also, I just want to greet the listeners. It is so wonderful and a great honor and a privilege for me to be part of this wonderful program. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for having me also. It's such a privilege to be with you. And also, I will enjoy this dialogue that we will be having today.
Amen. It's
going to be great. Because I think we're all passionate about our youth and our families. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to join you straight after this. Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for joining me this afternoon on Radio K Pulpit. My program's called Rise, and we have the privilege of having Anton Stulz in the studio with us, as well as Pastor Eric Limkuhl. And we are so privileged to have you this afternoon. And this is the month of the youth, and we really wanting to address, I'm going to concentrate on the family and the youth this month. I just feel that the family unit is really in trouble, and we really are struggling as families in all that we've been through and all we're going to. Schools and the youth and families are really don't know how to keep it together anymore. So we are here to discuss the possibilities of how can we impact and how can we bring back the moral compass back into the family. So many the youngsters are so busy with the internet, drugs, partying, being out there and on their phones, all kinds of addictions, and nobody is actually listening and seeing how the family is falling apart. So we're going to start with a question where I felt that, possibly, Anton, if you can just share a little bit of what your days as a youngster looked like compared to what our days are, our youth is struggling with right now.
Renette, thank you very much. Yes, things has changed quite a bit since I was young. Now, depending on who is listening, 45 years can either be very old or still on the younger side.
You're still young, believe me.
But when I look in the mirror and the person looking back at me, he's starting to become a little bit gray in color. But anyway, it was a really different world back then. And for the younger guys, it might be difficult to imagine, but we had no cell phones, we had no internet, we had no tablets, and it was just, we were playing outside. We were fortunate enough to live in Hartbeespoort, right close to the mountain. So for me as a child, I was always in the field, in the bushes. I loved it. And my friends as well. We would often just go for hikes, for sometimes days, 2-3 days at a time. And that was how we kept ourselves busy. And they weren't, pornography was almost non-existent. You didn't even know about that. Drugs, I've never seen drugs much. Just later in my teenage years, when I was maybe about 20 or so years, I had my first encounters with drugs. And so it was just a different time, almost like an innocent time.
Yes.
And if you look, my boy is 13 now, so I'm a little bit in touch of what's going on, the issues, the challenges that are about, and my heart goes out to the youth. Mm. And we're going to be talking about how we're going to address those issues and problems. But yeah, it was a complete different world then as opposed to what it is today. I mean, the availability of your cell phone, you by the click of a button, you can be on on anything. I don't even want to name it.
Yes.
It's available. Mm-hmm. When we deal with schools, I mean, family is our business. We love families. Our hearts goes out to the families. That's why we're doing these mighty men's, and the dads are coming. The granddads are coming and getting ministered to. They're receiving the word of God. But now, on a practical level, as how are we going to address that? Thank you, Renate.
Okay, Pastor Eric. And what did your days look like as well? I mean, you know, that must have had an impact on why you're doing what you're doing right now.
Yeah, for sure. I think if I listen to Anton, I'm just realizing we didn't grow up differently. Actually, I'm a bit younger than you,
yeah.
But it's practically the same. We also just played outside, and it was all about being outside with your friends. I remember we had like tag games that we played, and we swam in a dam, and it was wonderful times on the farm and everything. But for me, I was confronted by things in life when I started becoming a teenager. That's the first time that I've been confronted by certain things, like, let's say, for instance, with pornography or stuff like drinking. I was so scared. This one day I was joining my friends for a social gathering, and just all of a sudden there were like drinks at this party. And I grew up in a Christian home, and my parents taught me to look differently at stuff. And when that day happened, I was like so confronted and so shocked about it. But then I realized that's the season where we are in. And God just turned my heart around at the age of 18. And I think that's the reason I'm now currently in full-time ministry, and also just wanting to help the youth to understand their true identity and calling. And not struggle with these things, because it's actually like, for instance, it's putting a veil over their faces, and this veil is telling them this is now their current truth, but it's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually blinding them of what God actually ordained them to live by, and also to be freed from. So it looked quite different from.
Yes, yeah. And you know, obviously you being involved with the schools right now, what is the major crises that you are, that give us a few common ones? You know, there's obviously a lot involved with the youth, and it's very complex and complicated.
Yes.
What is it, the mainstream? You know, you were mentioning about the transgender. You know, these are things that need to be discussed and need to be highlighted. That a lot of parents are naive, they're in denial, they actually don't know, or they're not involved enough in the schools to see what is actually happening, and they're not on ground level. And the schools are also navigating things in their on their terms.
Mm.
So just give us a little bit of a background of what you, as you're working with the schools, how many schools are you involved with now? You mentioned a huge amount of schools.
So currently, as an organization, we are across South Africa, and we have about 109 schools that we are engaging. And this is on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, just as the school wants us to be involved in their program. I've been part of this movement for 12 years now, and God has really used us by just aligning the strategy of developing young people to their true identity and calling. And I think, just to answer your question, it's all about the youth that we, for the last 10 years, we've been talking about their identity. But I think they have stepped already into their identity. It's just, it's at the wrong place. So we actually need to speak truth over the lie, because they are currently believing the lie. And because of the lie of seeing, listen, there's instant gratification needed. That's the first thing. Also, I need to be popular in school. That's one of the critical stuff. And then we've realized that their identity is based on how people make them feel. So emotionally, And that's exhausting the teenagers of today, because they feel they are not living up to a standard and they are not reaching this certain place of
acceptance
mm-hmm. and popularity. And at that stage, they are doing wrong things. You've mentioned now the transgender. That's something that's really picking up now in this time and age. Also, the one of the most problem in our informal settlements is the drugs and also the gangsterism. Yes. That's also a huge part. And then social media. That's one of the biggest issues that we are addressing. And then something that I'm picking up in my spirit and also as I'm journeying with schools is children actually, these days in all cultures and all areas, there are this thing, the isms at the back. So I say everything with an ism at the back is actually creating a new label. And these labels are actually becoming the identity of the individual. So we need to start actually addressing the isms in life. Let's say, for instance, racism. And then also there's a few things just to mention, like, you get like, this is manly, this is womanly. And then so they get confused by all the isms and then they actually request or demand
delve into it and they investigate it, and when they look again, they write in it.
Yeah. And as we grew up, we weren't aware of all these kinds of things taking place because it didn't exist. My mom always said, you won't have any knowledge of something until someone enlightens you or introduces you to it. And these days, as Anton mentioned, it's the social media. They are, with a click of a button, they have everything in front of them.
Fingertips. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we need to address on how we use social media, what we engage in. What are we actually associated with? Because I think that's the problem, is people associate to a certain standard, which are not true to their true identity.
And obviously that comes from the home as well. What is happening on the home front? Yeah. What are we looking at? What are we reading? Mm. What are we having in our, in our DVD case and all that? And what is the conversation? And we also, as adults, you think children, okay, you do your thing, we do our thing. And as I said, in David's time, I've got a friend who's written an amazing book, and she says, what we do in moderation, our next generation will do in excess, like David and Solomon did. And that's what happens. We have to be very vigilant on the compass that we exercise within our homes. So, Pastor Eric, it is so important because, and again, there's division between the school and the home. So there's no relationship there either. So is that what you navigate as well? That relationship that parents need to get involved and teachers need to get involved and get to know their families.
Yes, no, that's so true. I think we actually focus on four levels. The first one is to have a good relationship with the principal, because we've seen over the years that the principal of a school, that set the trend for the school. If he's a godly man, it would be a godly school. And we've just seen that over the years. Secondly, we are focusing on teachers, by doing teacher investments with the teachers. And that's currently something that really helps the schools, also the governing bodies. We have personal meeting with them. And then thirdly, it's the parents. Parents, they think normally the school has it's actually as if they give the responsibility to the school to teach.
To do everything that they're not doing.
And in that case, we need to do parent investments. We need to take time in spending time with parents, giving them a training on how to be an effective parent, social media hazards, stuff like that. So we have a few programs that we also then provide for the parents. And then lastly, we focus on the children. Not to say we are lastly focused on them in the...
But it needs to be led.
it needs to be led. It comes from somewhere. And yeah, so the children with the children's programs, we have three levels that we engage on. That's just firstly creating a healthy purpose, just looking for purpose in their life. And then secondly, also to be focused on the community. How can we align the purpose of the child's identity to the community and also the geographical area? And then secondly is to find a healthy school. And just celebrating how we can impact children's life, the community's life, and then also the school's life. So, yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. Fantastic. I love it. Absolutely love it. This is exactly an answer to many prayers. We're needing that collaboration from families, schools, and facilitators. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to just join you straight after this again, because we have to continue with this conversation. It is absolutely powerful and purposeful. So thank you so much for joining us so far. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. I'm Renette Marburg on 7 to 9 a.m. Cape Pulpit, and we are having such an incredible topic this afternoon about the problems and the family problems that we are having within the schools and within just generally our youth are struggling. They've been exposed to so much, and we just don't know how to navigate it and how to contain it and put the biblical moral compass onto the journey with our youth and getting that back, that structure back into the homes. And I've really got a valuable guest today here, and I'm so privileged to have you. Anton, what is it that you can give us some advice? I mean, you are the prayer coordinator, and we know that the power of prayer is so powerful in a family. How does a parent pray for their youth and, you know, to not be affected by everything that they're exposed to?
Renette, thank you very much. Yes, it's quite a big subject.
That's
got a lot of variables. But let's, in order to answer that, I'm just going to make a couple of statements.
Please
on
do.
What I've found. So in order to find a solution, you really have to look at the problem. So what is the problem that we are facing? If we look at society in a whole, we can see that we are in a complete different course. And you were actually talking about the moral compass. Now, a compass is something that gives you direction.
Yes.
Now, that is the Word of God. We know that. But I'm sitting with a document in my hand. Everybody can go and Google it. It's by our Minister of Police, Becky Cele. And this was the statistics of the 2019-2020 year. And if we just look at the children between the ages of 10 to 17 were responsible for over 779 murders.
Sure.
I mean, 10 years old. My boy is 13 years old. I can't even fathom that. So if we look at just, I'm just going to make a, we know we're not going to talk about much over this. For me, it's important to talk about what the Word of God
says.
But
this says. Is giving the idea of how serious things are.
Yeah, just to bring a bit of context to the conversation.
Yes, very important.
Sexual offenses were up 74%, 74.1%. Aggravated robbery was up 107%. That means it has more than doubled to the previous year. Contact-related crimes, up 42.3%. Property-related crimes, 6%. Murder, 66.2%. Then it goes on. Attempted murder, 47.5%. Assault to do grievously bodily harms, up 70.1%. Common assault, 51.6%. Common robbery, 65%. And the list just goes on and on and on. Sexual offenses, rape, up 70, almost 73%. Sexual assault, 77.6%.
Oh, my goodness.
Attempted sexual assault, 89%. And then it just goes on. I'm not even going to go into hijackings.
Our youth is not okay.
And, you know, all the, it's just getting worse. So the point I'm trying to make is, if we look at society as a whole, there's a big problem. If this trend continues on the way, in the direction it's going, then we are up for serious trouble. Right. How do we address this? Yes, you have said, and James chapter 5 verse 16 is clear that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But that's going to cost the dad, the father of the house, to really step up. If the statistic shows that 80% of South Africans are born again spirit-filled believers, then something is wrong. If we look at this statistics, so we're sitting with what they call a fatherless generation. And as in our discussion before this program, you know, a lot of the times the dads are there, but they're not there. They're sitting there, they're in the same room, but we have bred this culture of just giving an iPad or a phone into the child's hand, and as long as he's busy and he's not bothering me, but that's not what we are called to do. We are called to be king, priest, and prophet of our homes. And, you know, the dad needs to set the example. You know, kids will not do what you tell them to do, but they will follow your example.
Yes.
So what does your child see? You getting up in the morning? Do you take the word of God? Do you say, come together? All of us now, we're going to pray together. We take the word of God. We're working systematically through the word of God, the Bible. And we're teaching these, you know, Proverbs, what is it, 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way of the Lord, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Yeah. But we have neglected it. And as you were saying earlier, Pastor Eric, that we have placed the responsibility to the church. We have placed the responsibility to the schools. But us as fathers, I'm a father, so I'm speaking from experience. And I can see if I the times that I didn't do it, it's like we are slowly drifting, and we're drifting further and further away. Mm. And God says, if you rather be cold than lukewarm, because when you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. So my plea to the fathers is to take up your God-given authority. Mm. And it's not that complicated. Get into the Word of God, get into prayer, but that goes hand in hand with relationship.
Yes.
You need to know what your child is facing. You know, when we were talking at the beginning of the program, when we were still young, we would sit around a table.
Yes.
And we would sometimes sit for 2-3 hours putting on the kettle again. And we would so be engaging in one another's, you know, in our business and what's been happening at school, what's been happening with sport, what's, you know, the challenges. And there we can talk about things. Wisdom gets exchanged there. You know, maybe I don't have the answer. You know, let's pray about this and see what the Lord is doing, what he's showing. So that is, fathers need to step up. And nothing is going to happen unless the fathers start doing, you know, what they're supposed to.
Yes. And even fathers that are really absent, you know, that are divorced, and that they can do the same. They can still navigate. I mean, I know somebody, he phones his son every morning. Even though they're divorced, he phones and he blesses him and he navigates and he prays for him, and it is doable.
Wow.
It is even doable on that, and that is where we can just step in, even if though things aren't exactly. And it's never too late. To rectify a relationship.
Wow, your answer. While you were speaking, I was just reminding of my own personal journey in life and the value of my father's opinion over my life. Also spending time and just being loved by him.
Mm.
And I think that's the father's heart, actually, is to let people love themselves. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, all your understanding, but love your God with everything. And that's just one thing that I've realized. The love that my father had for God was so huge that we as children experienced that on a daily basis. And what I loved about what you mentioned regarding the scripture that says train your kids in the way of the Lord, Moses actually spoke about it. He said, when you stand up in the morning, when you lay your head down at night, when you go to work, whatever you do, pray. And that's the thing. Do we pray effectively for our children? Do we make time of going into the room, laying on our hands on our children and saying, listen, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for that exam. I want to pray for your sport. I want to pray, even if you are sick, for healing. And I remember my dad spending time at night with us, me and my sister. And he was praying and he was speaking the word of God, reading scripture. Yes. And that was things that really stood out in the journey of development. Mm-hmm. And that always, you will always be reminded of what the word says. And that stood out for me. And I think for me, working with children, also with the youth is just by saying our parents need to realize, as you've mentioned, the father is the prophet, the priest over the household, but they need to realize that they have the power of blessing their children.
Yes, yeah.
Let's think about the story of Noah. Noah went through the whole story of the ark and the flood came and everything, and then God says, be fruitful, multiply. He was giving the same order to Noah as which he gave to Adam. And Adam and Eve couldn't fulfill this. They've fallen short of the glory of God. But here comes Noah and his family fulfilling a purpose. And then he goes, he plants a vineyard and he gets drunk. But what does the children do? They saw the father being drunk. They took a rope or just some clothing type of material. They walked backwards and threw it over Noah. Why? Because there were a respect.
Yeah.
There was something about value. There was something about love, honoring their father. And because of that honor, they didn't even look at their dad. They just clothed him.
Yeah.
And I think that's the generation that we need to work with, getting them back into the space of recognizing their dads, respecting their dads. Mm. Because sometimes I know there's fathers that they actually do their best and they give their all. But the children, they don't see it in that light because the parent maybe don't address their needs or what they want.
Or they've also fallen maybe somewhere in their lives. Yes. Yeah.
And so for me, it's just we also have a program that we call Training for Reigning and Becoming a Lady. And it speaks about blessing your child at a certain age. We all know the Jewish culture that they do the feast of the Bar Mitzvah, where the child is actually, the dad picks up the child, put it on the shoulder, walks into the city and say, this is my son. Exactly how God spoke when Jesus got baptized.
Mm.
Publicly acknowledging that this is my son and that I'm placing a worth on my son. So we do that in a form of a program and then also a ceremony. So I would like to ask the parents, make time to bless your child.
Amen.
Speak value, speak truth over their lives. Don't wait upon the pastor or the educator to do that for you. Take up the responsibility, and you are the prophet, the priest of your household. But it's necessary for you to recognize that you have the power of blessing your children with God's word every day. Yes.
Amen. Amen. That is so powerful.
Hallelujah.
Oh my goodness! You know, that is what we don't do. We're so busy driving our kids into some different directions and everything, instead of just blessing them that they can find their own way, because that's God's way and God's plan and purpose for them. And that is where we find our children being so dissatisfied, so on the brink of failure, feeling that they failed. But when they get blessed by their parents and that grace and mercy comes on them, that they find their own way. But thank you so much for this amazing, incredible information and just giving us a golden nuggets of what we can do. And it's so simple, as you said. Fathers, take up their role. Just takes 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, but it's the action. It's the relationship, the actual taking that time. And then you with coming with the blessing. And Pastor Eric, that was the most powerful message ever. And we can really take that home and do it. Just start doing it today. This hour. So thank you so much for that. But we're going to continue straight after this in our last session. I just wish I could. This is one of my favorite topics, is the family. And all I want is for our families to be restored, healed, and whole. And we will chat after this. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. It's been an incredible. This last half an hour has just been so incredible. And we have had Pastor Eric Lemkul.
Lemkul.
I'm getting there. And we have Anton Stills in the studio with me, and he is the prayer coordinator for Mighty Men and for the Shalom Ministries and Uncle Angus. And we just so privilege to have you in the studio this afternoon. And you just shared with us how powerful prayer is. And, you know, what is it that we can do on a daily basis of how do we navigate our families through this time where we get covered by prayer, covered by the presence of the Holy Spirit? How do we navigate? How do we govern our families? So if you can just give us some pointers. You gave us this beautiful idea of just take that 15 minutes and the simplicity.
Yes.
Both gentlemen really gave us the simplicity of actually just taking something very small, but it can have such a huge impact our children's future.
Absolutely, Renate. Yes, if I can just start by saying that the foundation needs to be Christ. It needs to... Any other foundation will not stand. I'm actually into construction, so I know about foundations.
Foundations, yes.
So the foundation needs to be Christ. So I would suggest to families who hasn't done it yet, to dads, whoever, children, get your families together for, let's call a family meeting, and sit everybody together and says, right, let's make up our minds that we're going to serve the Lord with everything that entails. Let's make a decision today that we're going to follow, that we're not just going to follow, we're going to become disciples of the Lord. And we all know the scripture, Joshua 24, verse 15, for me and my house will serve the Lord. And it starts small. It starts small by surrendering. And there's some things that you can immediately address. I would suggest that have that meal, maybe in the evening when the family's together, and get to know one another again. Because this busyness with life, this hamster wheel has caused that we have drifted apart from one another. And how can we effectively pray for each other if we don't even know each other? I mean, start asking the husbands and wives, you know, what is your favorite color? What do you like? You know, and then the what's your favorite dish? And then sometimes the husband that doesn't even know, you know, and that's supposed to be your closest companion that you are in covenant with. And then, of course, as you get to know your children and that relationship that you are working on, they see it's not just judgment and condemnation and it's just hidings all the time, but there's a love relationship. They will start opening up and say, Dad, these guys in class with me, you know, they keep offering me cigarettes or they keep offering me drugs or they want me to come and drink with them. You know, they will start opening because they trust you and they value your input. They value your wisdom. And you can start addressing that and you can pray, of course, over that. And with that, I want to read Psalms chapter 1, which is such an appropriate for this conversation that we are having. I'm going to read out of the Amplified version, the righteous and the wicked contrasted. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers, ridiculers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law, his precepts and teachings, he habitually meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted and fed by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers and comes to maturity. That is what we are trusting the Lord for. Verse 4, the wicked, those who live in disobedience to God's law, are not so, but they are like the chaff, worthless and without substance, which the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand unpunished in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows and fully approves the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. You know, a lot of people that I've met that was caught up in criminality, that were, you know, caught up in these addictions and these patterns of destruction, you know, they were looking for quick rewards. They were looking for quick money or a quick thing, but that cost them so much. It cost them years in prison. It cost them such big portions of their lives. That means you are being put in a cage away from society, and that is so sad. It's so sad, not just on that person, but on the family. And in a way, Satan has succeeded in stealing your destiny. And we have to preserve us as parents, who are the gatekeepers of our families, we are responsible for launching our children into maturity in Christ, into maturity into society, but we are neglecting and we are failing miserably until we start addressing this, making Jesus the chief cornerstone, the cornerstone of our families.
Amen. And that is so profound, because, you know, often we leave our children to their own resources and their own, again, youth leaders, church leaders, the government and the schools. We expect them to take the replace the roles of that what we're supposed to stand in. And when we look at, they come to 15, 16 and 17, and then we want to know why they're off the map. So this is so profound about that. This, it needs to become a lifestyle, a lifestyle of absolutely being involved all the way through as they make their big decisions. Yeah. And then often it comes out when they're 30, 40, and when they have to make life decisions, they haven't got that compass and they don't have the foundation. And that's where we see our world fall apart and our families fall apart. So I really am so grateful for that, you know, those scriptures that is so profound on the way forward. So Pastor Eric, your take on the way forward, and how can we govern our families and inclusive, you know, we cannot separate, you know, we like to compartmentalize and say the school, the church, the job, the work, you know, the family, and then hope everything, the wheel turns, and it actually doesn't. So how do we actually navigate that?
Well, I've enjoyed listening to Anton, because there's something about the wisdom that he shares.
Yes.
And also the scripture reminded me of a time in my life. I was about 5 years old. My grandfather died in Album Spruit, and we as a family gathered there. And I remember it was this plot with a huge jacaranda tree and with a swing and everything. And at that stage, my uncle, actually it's, you know, my dad's uncle, he actually felt he need to take up the responsibility of being the spiritual head of this family. And he actually stood in the place of my grandfather who just died. And he sat down, every one of us, underneath this jacaranda tree. And as he sat us down, he was just speaking life over each and every one of us. And he was giving us names, biblical names. I remember that day. I can feel the presence of God in that moment. And I was 5 years old, and all of us got biblical names. And he stood by my name, and he said, "Listen, you will be like a Paul, planting churches across the world."
Wow!
And I was at that moment, I was just taking that word upon my life. And I think it's, as you've mentioned, we need to pray over our children's lives. We need to take time to invest in their lives, but not just that, to speak over their lives and say, "Listen, this is the word of God. This is how we as a family believe. Our beliefs need to be set."
That's
and
right.
we need to follow Christ, as you've mentioned, because he's the head of the church, but he's also the head of our family.
Right.
And as I've experienced that, since that day, God has just, and Paul writes it, he says, "If someone knows their calling, they will never stumble." And since that day, I've never stumbled, because I've knew that, and I know that is the call of God over my life. But it's because of someone taking the initiative, but also the responsibility of saying, "Listen, we're going to speak value and truth over our children's lives." Then secondly, I was reminded of the practical things that we can use from the book of Ephesians. Now, Ephesians teaches us about three concepts. In the first one, from chapter 1 to 2, it speaks about the sit concept. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So it's the position from where we function that is so valuable. Fathers, you need to address that to your children. You need to tell them about, because of Christ's death and resurrection, they are now seated with Christ. Their identity is placed within the position of Christ. And that we function from that reality. Then also the chapter 3 up until chapter 4 speaks about walking worthy in your calling. And that's one thing that the parents, they are actually the front runners, but they are also leading the way But in a sense, they are the example for the children. Mm. And if you don't walk worthy of your calling, your child is actually missing out on that calling. And we as parents, we as educators, as teachers, as human race, we need to focus on walking worthy of our calling. Because Paul says that that brings freedom and salvation. And I think then the last one is found in chapter 6, where it speaks about the armor of God.
Mm.
And we need to learn how to stand. So firstly, we sit, we walk, and we stand. And we do that with God. And as a parent, you need to speak that into your child's life. How they are positioned with Christ, how they walk in their daily lives with Christ, in the calling, and then also to stand against the attacks of their families, on the families, and also the attacks of life. Because how would they stand against their social environment, where they are facing things like transgender and things like gangsterism, or
that they can stand firm.
They need to stand firm in their faith and belief. So we have actually this opportunity of addressing this through the biblical principle of Ephesians.
And that is so powerful. That is so incredibly powerful. And you know what I loved? What you're saying now is about the identity, mm-hmm. is that we need to impart that identity, and it needs to come from the Father's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, that is where the power lies, is by, I believe in you, I know who you are, and you are my child.
Yeah.
That's the way they will be able to relate to their Father in heaven,
yeah.
is by the actual earthly Father. He's given the Father
also
the
that earthly, responsibility.
That responsibility. Yeah. Mm. And when it's been failed, lots of our single moms, unfortunately, come in into that position, which doesn't get heard. Mm. It doesn't land like it should. So that is why we have to keep fathers accountable, bring them in and say, listen, even if you just phone, even if the Father isn't where he's supposed to be, just bring him in, get him involved, and keep him accountable so that he can stay invested in the child's life. But if it's not so, we need to train our children who Abba Father is and replace him, and we stay the mothers, and they stay, and Father, Abba Father stays the father of our children.
Can I quickly just say
Please
something?
Do.
What's so prominent about this discussion actually is that we need to think about investing our time better. Because let's say, for instance, you as a dad work so hard to provide for your family, but you don't have access to your children's realities or what they are going through, in a sense. You are missing out regarding what's happening in their lives because you are so focused on work. And I've realized that dads are actually spending so much time on raising their businesses and raising their finances that they are actually missing out and wasting time on spending quality time with their children. Mm-hmm. For instance, just I was at school. I had friends that didn't have a dad, or there were divorces that took place. But many of those children that grew up with me actually came to my dad when they got married, or when they got saved, or when because they were related to him, because he was standing in the gap.
Gap for
and
them.
Sometimes we
That's
need to
amazing.
Stand in the gap,
for
others.
Other dads.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I
great.
Had the blessing of that with my children. Thank wow. you, Lord. And, you know, this is where somebody shared with us a little while ago, and he said, yes, fathers, you're running, and you're purpose-driven, and you've got, you know, you need to do something, but show me your family. And that is where your success lies, is your family. And we need to really protect and cover. And, this is a topic I'd love to just continue with. And our time is unfortunately running out. And I just thank you for the valuable hour. It was just phenomenal. Thank you so much for being with us in the studio today, Antonio. And you always such, you just bring the Holy Spirit, and he just arrives and he just comes and rocks the studio. So with you, thank you so much. I love and appreciate you so much.
Thank you very much, Renee.
Okay. You're such a blessing to us. And thank you so much, Pastor Eric. I'm so glad I met you. And we're looking forward to the program on the 30th.
Yes.
We're going to have you on again, and you're going to just share with us with amazing work that you do in the schools, because we need that relationship also to be completed and healed and whole and know how to do what to do with that. So thank you, family and friends, and thank you for joining us, and enjoy your long weekend. And be good and be safe and look after yourselves and stick to the rules. Amen. And we will see you next week. God bless.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.